You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are with Paul Dietrich, the CEO of Fairfax Global Markets. Paul manages the Fairfax Global Markets permanent and global value portfolios on Covestor, the online investment marketplace where people can replicate the trades of experienced investors. Paul is also an international corporate attorney and has been advisor on privatization and economic development issues to the World Bank, as well as several governments in Asia, Eastern Europe, and the former Soviet Union. Paul Dietrich, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric.
Good to have you this morning. So first of all, as an economist, you see the U.S. economy entering into major restructuring and systematic period of change. Now, these are economic restructurings that only happen every 50 years, and you say it will change everything we know and offer enormous opportunities to investors and entrepreneurs. Get into that a little, if you would.
Well, you know, as someone who follows the global economy very, very closely, I've always been a great fan of the Scottish economist Adam Smith. He believed in creative, or he saw the economy go through periods of what he called creative destruction. That means, you know, loads of jobs and industries just come out of nothing. And at the same time, many old industries just simply disappear. You know, we remember this with the Industrial Revolution when we went from a rural economy into a manufacturing economy, and people moved from, there was a huge demographic wave of movement from rural areas into big cities. After World War II, we saw a new restructuring of the U.S. economy and a wave of demographic wave of people moving from the big cities out to the suburbs. You know, we created new homes, new malls, new roads, the superhighway system. Everything changed in America, and we saw the growth of great companies like General Electric and Westinghouse and Polaroid and all those companies that really emerged after World War II in a big way, in a new way. And then, you know, the tech revolution, boy, that's changed everything. Nothing in business or in our personal lives hasn't changed because of technology in the 1980s. And the whole global economy restructured around that. We are about to enter into a new period that we only see every 50 years or so, that we're going to see a whole new change in the economic landscape in the United States. You know, for the past 30 years, most of the wealth created in America has come from banking and financial engineering. You know, remember the savings and loan bubble in the 1980s and the tech IPOs and the tech bubble in the 1990s, and remember the subprime mortgage bonds and nearly bankrupted the global economy a few years ago. This isn't the healthiest way to create national wealth. You know, only a few groups of bankers and other people, a few industries benefited from all this financial engineering. And there really was an income disparity gap in America between Wall Street and Main Street. And what we're seeing now is in this new, still emerging recovery, is a new American economy that is being built on five great pillars: energy, the reshoring of manufacturing here in America, agricultural exports, the housing recovery, and technology. And these are real things. These are real industries, and they're creating the foundation for real wealth and a wealth that's more broad-based than just Wall Street and financial engineering that we've seen really over the last 30, 40 years. And I believe we're seeing the beginnings of a new long-term secular bull market in the stock market that will rival what we saw in the 1980s and 1990s, which was one of the greatest bull markets of all times. And because of this new bull market's foundations are more solid and more diversified and more broad-based, And then you couple that with the growth and rise of Asia and the middle class in Asia. And I believe this coming long-term bull market will be the greatest bull market in history. And the fundamentals are all coming together right now. Any economist can see these long-term fundamentals moving in what is a quite spectacular direction for the U.S. economy and the U.S. stock market.
Very interesting, without a question. Now, you have said that there are two newly emerging economic mega trends that every entrepreneur should understand. Touch on that also, if you would.
Well, really, and this is really important for investors because there are two key long-term mega trends driving this global economic expansion that will be the foundation of a new U.S. economy. And the first long-term megatrend is a revitalized business and manufacturing renaissance in the American South and the Midwest of the United States. You know, since the Industrial Revolution, most of the money in the United States has been concentrated on the East and West Coast and on Wall Street. And that is about to change. We're going to see a lot more money being redistributed throughout the American South and the Midwest. First reason is because of energy self-sufficiency. You know, while China is now the largest oil importer in the world and its imports are growing over 8% per year, the U.S. will become energy independent either this year or sometime between, you know, between now and 2017, we're going to be a net energy exporter. The new fracking technologies of shale oil and natural gas will make the U.S. the only major developed economy in the world to be energy self-sufficient. And if you look at North America as a whole, both Canada and Mexico are energy exporters. We are going to be the next, what we used to think of as the Saudi Arabia of the world. We're going to be the next Saudi Arabia of the world. And this oil and gas boom will also significantly boost employment. You know, we're now at a 28-year high in oil production here in the United States because of all these new fracking technologies. And a study by one consulting group, IHS, estimates that this new energy boom has already created 1.75 million jobs. And within the next few years, there should be another 1.3 million more. And that's not counting the new transportation and infrastructure jobs in creating new pipelines throughout America to transport this new energy. And this is privately funded infrastructure in the engineering states. It's not, we don't have to wait for the government or Congress to do anything here. And this energy self-sufficiency, this new energy boom, is really causing a manufacturing renaissance in the United States. America's new energy revolution is bringing back manufacturing. High-end manufacturing is slowly coming back, reshoring, they call it, from Asia to the United States. A lot of low-end manufacturing is coming back from Asia to Mexico, which is good. It creates jobs down there. This new U.S. manufacturing renaissance is a combination of improving productivity and cheap and abundant energy. Higher energy costs are a major component of transporting goods from Asia to the U.S. and Europe. And in China, wages for skilled labor are moving up by double-digit percentage each year, according to the World Economic Forum, and natural gas prices in China are approximately $16 compared with, you know, about $4.20 for the same amount of natural gas here in the United States. And Europe's paying $12. So we're seeing now a lot of European manufacturing moving to the United States. And for the first time, I'm actually seeing Chinese manufacturers moving here to the United States. Lenovo, the biggest Chinese computer manufacturer, is building a huge billion-dollar-plus plant in South Carolina. And so it should be noted that most of these new manufacturing facilities, that unfortunately, they're not going back to the states they originally left, like Detroit and Ohio and places like that. They're moving back to right-to-work states in the Midwest and the South. And the third pillar that I was talking about, and this is kind of an exciting area, is American agriculture feeds the world. And as more people move into the middle class, the desire for protein will increase. And we you know, it takes about eight pounds of wheat to make 1 pound of hamburger going through the cow. And we produce all of that. And if you look at where Asia is today in 2014, according to some recent studies by the IMF and the World Bank, there are now 552 million people with U.S. middle-class living standards. We only have 300 million people here in the U.S. And by 2020, is only, you know, 6 years from now, the number is going to explode from 552 million to 1.75 billion, an increase of 3.5 times in 7 years. And if this happens, think about the new consumer sales potential for U.S. manufacturers in the rest of the world. Think of the demand for oil and gas. Think of the demand for food products as the poor switch from basic grain diets to more complex and expensive protein. This is a long-term bull market for American farmers, American agriculture, and this, again, primarily is going to benefit rural America, especially in the Midwest and the South. You know, the other pillars are housing is coming back. That's creating jobs for construction workers. A lot of those guys and women couldn't, you know, they had a hard time transitioning once the construction boom was over. Also, we're going to see the continuing rise of technology. Today's smartphone, you know, has more computing power than the entire Apollo space program. And human genome sequencing is now at a pace faster than anyone imagined even 5 years ago. And so the United States is still the leader in technology and will continue to be for the foreseeable future. The second big megatrend is what I was talking about a little bit earlier, this rising standards of living in Asia. There are now over 3 billion people living in China, India, and the rest of Asia. And as I mentioned, 552 million of them have a middle-class standard of living, just like we have here in the United States. But that's going up 3.5 times to 1.75 billion in the next 6 years. You know, think about the investment opportunities. I mean, you know, recently the Chinese government announced they plan to move 250 million people from rural areas to newly constructed cities over the next 12 years. That's like building new cities for the entire population of the United States. And think about the roads that would be built, the electrical and telephone grids and lines and economic development. And think about cars and refrigerators and air conditioners and microwaves that American companies will be able to sell. We now sell more American cars in China than we do in the United States. And the good news is the U.S. stock market and the U.S. economy will be the major beneficiaries of this Asian economic explosion. And, you know, if you look at almost every industry where foreign investment is allowed in China and other Asian countries, American companies largely dominate in each one of their fields. And the new global economic expansion is going to create more jobs and more wealth. And I think most economists are projecting at the moment. We're still looking in a rearview mirror when it comes to unemployment and the U.S. economy of the last 30 years rather than the U.S. economy moving forward. And the U.S. stock market is going to be a major financial beneficiary of this enormous Asian global economic expansion.
Certainly some very interesting information that you've delivered here today. How about tell us, why is that the U.S. economy only grew about 2% last year and yet the Dow was up 26%? That's a little confusing.
I know. You know, people ask me that all the time. And, you know, investors have to make a distinction between the U.S. economy and the U.S. stock market. You know, people, it's really quite an interesting question, because the answer to that question is that right now almost 53% of S&P 500 company earnings come from outside the U.S. And that, so over half of U.S. corporate earnings come from outside the United States, a large portion of that coming now out of Asia, and that's expected to grow over 60% by 2025. This means that the U.S. stock markets, they really more closely reflect the global economy than the U.S. economy. And we've got to stop thinking as investors that the U.S., you know, equating the U.S. stock market with mirroring or reflecting the U.S. economy. That may have been appropriate in the 1950s and 1960s, but with over 53% going to 60% earnings coming from outside the United States, in the end, earnings growth drive the stock market, and significant foreign earnings will allow the stock market to expand at a faster rate than the U.S. economy over the next few decades, especially as we see those 552 million Asians who have middle-class incomes move to 1.75 billion. That's going to cause an economic expansion in the stock market earnings that really economists haven't gotten their hands around yet, but boy, this may be the last best hope for baby boomers to really make some money before they die.
Yeah, well said there. If you would, tell our listeners where they can get more information before you go, and also how they can be in touch as well.
Well, you can go on if you go onto Google and go onto YouTube, you can go onto my YouTube channel, and I have hundreds of videos of my appearances on CNBC and Fox and Bloomberg and CNN. And so I usually appear every couple of weeks on CNBC and Fox Business News. You can also get some more information at our website, which is www.fairfax-global.com.
Excellent. And in conclusion, any closing thoughts or a final tip for the listeners along the lines that we have been covering today?
Well, as the world economies are changing and they're becoming dependent, global risk management will become more important as stock markets around the world become more volatile. That may be the downside of everything that's happening. But most investment managers still see the world, the stock market, and the economy through the prism of the last 50 years. And it's going to be really important for investors to find an investment manager who understands the opportunities of these new economic megatrends, and at the same time can actively manage the global risk that's going to come with it.
Paul, it certainly has been a privilege. Thank you so much for the information, and I certainly would enjoy having you come back to be with us once again on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric.
We've been speaking with Paul Dietrich, the CEO of Fairfax Global Markets. Paul manages the Fairfax Global Markets Permanent and Global Value Portfolios on Covestor at Covestor.com, the online investment marketplace where people can replicate the trades of experienced investors. And once again, the website of reference is Fairfax-Global.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.